The Sports Sesh with Alec Elijah. It's our first ever Sports Sesh with Alec Elijah NFL recap. This is something that I've really been wanting to do for, like, I want to say at least 2 years. Like, real talk, I've been wanting to do this for 2 years. I never got around to doing it just because I was so indecisive. But as I've said in the episodes, man, we're going to be taking this a lot more serious. We are going to be consistent with this stuff. Let's get this comment section going for the people that join in. And like I said, man, we are just going to be producing great content going forward. And that's what I intend to do. So shout out to everybody who's tuning into the live. Shout out to everybody who's going to be tuning in after the live. As you all know, man, much appreciated. Shout out, you know, shout out to everybody that's tuning in. Shout out to everybody that wants to listen to what I got to say. Really, shout out to everybody on Twitch. Shout out to everybody on YouTube. Man, it's been amazing, the support that I've been getting, whether it's been on the streams lately, whether it's been on YouTube. It's been crazy to see, to be honest with you. But with that being said, of course, I'm going to have to get going with this Sports Sesh with Alec Elijah NFL recap. This is week one, preseason week. So it's going to be interesting to see really what happened. Making sure we can get this stream right, though. So, of course, got to make sure everything is right. I got my folks making sure that the stream is going good. Let's check it out. Make sure everything's going right, because technology, man. Technology will really be a... Dang, man. Oh, we're live on YouTube, though. We're live on YouTube, though. We're good. Live on YouTube. See if Twitch can hopefully work with us. Work with me, Twitch. Work with me. Work with me, Twitch. Work with me. Yes, sir. Hopefully we can get Twitch working. We got YouTube working. Freak with it. But I hope everybody that's tuning in, man, I hope everybody's had a good day. I've had a good day so far. I went to the Giants game today, so I did miss just a little bit of that Panthers game. I did see PJ Williams, though. He was putting on a show. But I went to the Giants game today. Got myself a little ball from Jonathan Daza. Shout out to the boy from the Rockies. But let's get into this episode, man. Let's get going with this. Let's start off with our first topic of the night. Denver Broncos QB duel. Now, Denver Broncos can go about this two ways this season. They can go one route with Teddy Bridgewater. They can go one route with Drew Lock. It really depends which way they want to go with their offense. Right now, from what I've seen, it looks a lot like right now they're going to be leaning towards Drew Lock. And personally, from what I've seen just in their past performance yesterday, I'm rolling with Drew Lock too, to be honest with you. Lock went 5 for 7. Teddy B went 7 for 8. However, I felt that Drew Lock moved me a bit more just because, one, he went out and he was running the offense like he knew the damn thing. No disrespect to Teddy Bridgewater, but Drew Lock's already comfortable with the offense considering he was at the helm damn near all of last season. And did anybody see the 80-yard bomb to KJ Hamler? Really, like, did anybody? This man just chucked it. Catch, touchdown. Like, bread basket, throw, and catch. And KJ Hamler just walked in with ease. Now, I liked what I seen from Bridgewater, but I feel like he's just not stretching the ball enough. And what I mean by that is, we've seen from Drew Lock, he's chucking the ball down 80 yards. He's moving the ball downfield any which way possible. But if we look at Teddy Bridgewater, he only moved the ball on one half of the field. It didn't really exceed anything other than that. So that's personally right now why I feel like Drew Lock is going to be the favorite to be QB1. He's already a shoe-in for QB1. I feel at this point it's only his job to lose. So going forward in preseason, Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to show out. And we're just going to see what he can put together. The Broncos have a tremendous amount of talent wrapped around them. Not saying they're all going to start, obviously, in preseason. But for what they have working so far, we're looking at guys like KJ Hamler. Both QBs definitely have weapons to work with. Now it's up to both QBs to put all of those weapons to work, if you get what I'm saying. So we'll see going forward who is going to win this battle by week one. Right now, like I said, I have Drew Lock just a little bit higher than Teddy Bridgewater. There's not that big of a gap, but there is a pretty noticeable gap, I feel. Another thing I really want to mention from this Broncos game. Did anybody watch Patrick Surtain? Like, this man is, this is not hard for him. Like, I seen John Rivers tweet, Bama practices were harder than what Patrick Surtain was dealing with the Minnesota Vikings. And honestly, he wasn't lying. Like, Patrick Surtain was literally out there having a field day. He had a pick six. His first NFL preseason game. That's CB1 in the draft. Personally, not my CB1. I still like J.C. Horn. You know, no disrespect to Patrick, by the way, who is easily CB2. But for being CB1 in the draft, you're coming out your first preseason game with a pick six? Like, come on. Come on. That's serious business right there. That is serious business. All I can do, salute, Patrick. See you, boy. Next topic, man. Continuing with another QB duel that's been going on, which I feel everybody knew was going to go on the moment Drew Brees called it quits. Not quits, but, you know, hung the cleats up. It was just time. Father time caught up to him. The New Orleans Saints are in a mess of a trouble if this is what their QBs are going to be putting together this season. Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston both did nothing to impress me this past weekend. I felt like just really nobody impressed me. Every single quarterback on the New Orleans Saints that played for the New Orleans Saints threw an interception, including my guy Ian Book. Like, everybody threw an interception. Winston threw one. Taysom Hill threw one. Ian Book threw one. It didn't matter. If you played quarterback, if you were playing quarterback for the Saints, you were throwing an interception on Saturday. Like, that is the craziest thing. Now, one thing I do want to mention before we start getting into these quarterbacks is one guy who's going to be able to work with no matter what quarterback is out there is their new wide receiver one, Marcus Callaway. Now, with Mike out, it's going to be interesting to see who really steps up. I think Callaway is going to be that guy. My guy Ray, who's a huge Saints fan, was the one who told me to start taking a look at Callaway. I took a look. I watched the tape. This is definitely going to be the guy that goes ahead and replaces Michael Thomas as wide receiver one for the time being, because we all know when Mike T gets back, how that's going to go. Like I said, man, we're going to see. I think Marcus Callaway really is, though. I think he's the real deal for the Saints. So remember I told you guys that? Just remember. Now, just because we're on the word duds right there, a non-QB dud that the Saints are going to have is at cornerback, Paulson Adebo doesn't want to get a vaccine. I don't know what the deal that is with that, to be honest with you. Paulson Adebo, who I really liked, he is on my top 10 cornerbacks from this past draft out of Stanford, Pac-12 guy. He can be on the opposite side of Marshon Lattimore, but he doesn't want to get a vaccine. He went to Stanford Medical School, but does not want to get a vaccine. That really grinds my gears. Like, that truly grinds my gears. I personally have some medical things in my life. I've dealt with the people over at Stanford Medical Care, some amazing people. They all know what they're talking about. So it is a mind-blowing to me that this man is like, nah, I don't need the vaccine. I'm not going to get the vaccine. Like, bro, You have an opportunity to shine, bro. Take that vaccine. Take this chance. Please, man. I pray Paul Sanudibo goes and gets that vaccine because I do want to see him shine in the NFL, especially if he can start in his first year on the opposite side of Marshawn Lattimore. It can be special. Truthfully, it can be special. But it is up to Paul Sanudibo to get that vaccine. Now, back to the QBs. I feel like right now in that QB room, a lot of people are liking Taysom Hill just because he understands his role, he understands the playbook, whatever it is. I am still taking Jameis Winston. No questions asked. I am still putting Jameis Winston in on week one unless some divine miracle happens that Taysom Hill just wakes up and finds Drew's secret stuff and just unleashes in the next, two, three preseason games that the Saints have. Unless he does that, personally, no matter how this preseason plays out, I am still starting Jameis Winston week one. I still don't feel like, I just don't feel like Taysom Hill is a starting QB. Like, I'm not going to sit here and beat around the bush. I feel like he's an excellent guy to bring in certain packages. He's definitely one of those unicorn type football players that you just don't know what the hell you can do with him, truthfully. So I don't want him at QB1. I don't want him at the New Orleans Saints QB1. I want Jameis Winston there. We'll see. I like Ian Book. He's a NorCal guy. I have a lot of feelings for Ian Book. I feel like potentially, hey, if Winston and Taysom Hill both aren't working out, why not? Like, what do you have to lose, you know? But we will see what happens with the New Orleans Saints and their QB duds going forward. Let's talk about our third topic of the night, the Raiders' defensive depth. Now, the Raiders impressed me. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. The Raiders honestly impressed me this past weekend. Not in a sense of their offense, not in a sense of their coaching. But finally, what I seen from the Raiders was defensive depth. And especially in the secondary, where I feel the Raiders are going to need the most depth this season, what I liked, you know, two guys stood out to me. Second year guy, Amik Robertson, and rookie Nate Hobbs. Both two guys that are working to play that slot cornerback role, working to get some reps, and both of them were putting in some serious work. Like, I really like what I'm seeing from the Las Vegas Raiders in terms of depth. They're getting guys that are ready to play. They're getting guys that are ready to come off the bench, which, honestly, no disrespect, but that's a very good thing for the Raiders. When you have a guy that's ready to come off the bench and he's ready to eat and he's ready to play, that is what you need with the Las Vegas Raiders, because for some reason, the injury bug hits, the suspension bug hits. It doesn't matter what you want to. It really doesn't matter, truthfully. But one thing I like is that the Raiders are getting depth at the linebacker position, in the secondary. And like I said, I preached all last year, the Raiders need a better secondary. And if they can get guys who can rotate, you know, you got a guy like Trayvon Mullen who's ready to go. You got a guy like Jonathan Abrams, who I still believe in a little bit, being a Mississippi guy. You have it there. You have the pieces there. It's up to your team now to put them together and let them all work. Now, lastly, because the Raiders did, I don't even have nothing bad to say about the Raiders. They really honestly impressed me. I really just wanted to talk about their defensive depth. Lol. Little technical difficulties there, guys. Nothing too crazy, though. We are back and better than ever. So, as I was saying, let's get into these rookie quarterback reviews, because this is just one of those things that everybody really wanted to hear about. Let's talk about number one, because I really don't want to get into him last, because everybody gets into him last anyway, just because he's everybody's favorite rookie QB. Let's start off with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence went 6 for 9. He had 71 yards. He had a fumble and he got sacked twice. He had a fumble and got sacked twice. Now, I'm not going to blame him for those two sacks because that offensive line really isn't going to help him. I see the turnaround coming in Jacksonville. I really do. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in one season. They're going to have to get pieces around Trevor Lawrence if they want to be successful, especially after what I've seen this past weekend. It's whoever they drafted, it's not going to happen. Like, they drafted some excellent skills, guys. But as far as offensive line, defensive line, they need to rejuvenate. I feel like that's going to be a work in progress, truly, in Jacksonville. I'm giving it maybe 2 to 3 seasons for sure. We'll see how that rebuild goes. I have faith in Urban Meyer. A lot of people are like, I don't know how he's going to transfer over as an NFL coach. Look, the guy has the stuff as a coach. We've seen it and the highest, we've seen it on the highest stage. So Urban Meyer, definitely, he can get it done. Trevor Lawrence's highlight really was a 35-yard toss. Nothing really too crazy from him. It wasn't a huge, crazy start, but it was something nice to see, from a good old sunshine. Let's talk about my guy, Mr. Mac and Cheese, Mac Jones, 13 for 19 with 87 yards. He did take a sack, and I gotta be honest with you guys, I was pleased. You know, journalist cap on, Patriots cap on, halfway. I was pleased personally. I felt like he gave us a good look. I know there was a lot of check down passes. I mean, he wanted to uncork it a couple times, but, being a New England fan, I've realized there's a system that we go by, and you either go by that system or you're not playing. So it was really up for Mac Jones to just abide by what Belichick and McDaniels wanted to run, which I was pleased with personally. Like I said, I enjoyed it. Thank you, Mac Jones. Appreciate that. See what we got going on in the comment section. My boy, Polly. Yes, sir. Number 3, let's talk about Zach Wilson. Now, 6 for 9 with 63 yards. Mixed emotions, really. I want Zach Wilson to succeed, but he's going to be another guy like Trevor Lawrence where you're going to have to put the pieces around him in order for him to succeed. Now, don't get me wrong, New York Jets do have some pieces around them, but they don't have that it factor. You got to have that it factor. And unless Zach Wilson is going to be that it factor this season, which I didn't see. I mean, he only had 9 pass attempts, but I personally did not see it. We're going to see how that goes. But from what I did see, he's got the stuff. Tangibles are there. It looked exactly like the tape did. He only threw for 63 yards, so I didn't really get to see him, uncork the cannon. But it's there. Like, I promise you guys, it's there. We're going to see what the Jets do this season. I can't wait to see what Zach Wilson does with another couple reps. And we'll get another feel for Zach Wilson going forward. Now, let's talk about my favorite start. The guy that everybody slept on in the draft. Like, nobody wanted anything to do with this man, apparently. Mr. Justin Fields. 14 for 20, 142 yards. This man threw for a TD and had 106.7 QBR rating. Thank you. 33 yards on the run with a TD. He had a fumble, but we won't talk about it that much. But it was there. Justin Fields is pissing a lot of NFL GMs off. And I love it. I love how many GMs are getting pissed off because of what Justin Fields is doing. Why would you sleep on him? What was the reason for it? Really? What was the reason for him? I hope every GM that slept on him, including the Patriots, because by the way, I'm still mad that he is not in a New England uniform. I pray everybody watched that game and they're like, should have drafted him. Yeah, you should have. Justin Fields is a baller. He is everything I called him when ranking him as my number 2 QB on the Sports Edge with Alec Elijah list. And I pray this man wakes everybody up. Now, real talk. One thing I do want to get into is why he is not the QB1. I am not starting Justin Fields against the Los Angeles Rams in his first NFL game. anybody who is starting Justin Fields, anybody who's starting any of their rookie quarterbacks against the Los Angeles Rams, one literally a top three defense, fully healthy, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald. We're talking about a bunch of guys that are just ready to get at it. I'm not putting my rookie QB against him. He's going to start looking like Sam Darnold did seeing ghosts. I'm not setting my rookie QB up for failure. I like what Nagy's doing. You know, I'm not a huge Nagy fan. I still believe he's in a hot seat. I still think he was in the hot seat just for saying Andy Dalton was the clear starter. But I feel like after week three, after week four, it's time to hand Justin Fields the keys to Chicago. And whether they're going to be ready for that or not, we're going to see. But by week four, I expect Justin Fields to be under center for the Chicago Bears. No questions asked. And if he is not, it is definitely time that that front office sits Matt Nagy down and asks him, what in the hell is he thinking not starting this talented young man in Justin Fields? Lastly, and this one really has its own topic. We're going to talk about Trey Lance, another guy that I personally, you know, everybody's seen the list. I wasn't too high on him. Still a guy that's super talented. I watched the game and I was like, well, hey, my bad, bro. Hey, Trey, salute, young man, because you are proving me wrong, bro. Truthfully, you earned that spot. But there were a couple things that I felt just, you kind of understand where the development needs to go down. Now, he did play in the FCS, so the talent isn't all the way up there compared to some of what these other quarterbacks played. But he's definitely by far one of the best college quarterbacks to come out of the FCS in recent history. I think the last solid one, truthfully, was Carson Wentz, who came from the same school as him at North Dakota State. But he went 5 for 14 with 128 yards. Now, let's talk about that 5 for 14. There were a couple drops from his wide receivers, you know, in and out of the hands. But there were a couple miscues as well, which I don't feel like people are going to analyze. I feel like they're going to overlook because he did throw for 128 yards and a touchdown, which, yes, is very impressive, especially because we did see him uncork the long ball, which I really liked because he had a check down to Brandon Ayuk, which I don't know if everybody's seen, but Ayuk was wide open, and he said, nah, watch this. Threw it down, and it's like, hey, damn, Trey Lance. Like, salute, truthfully. Trey Lance, he did put on a show. Now, what this does for Jimmy Garoppolo is it continues to light that fire. But how long is that fire going to be lit for Jimmy Garoppolo is the real question. What I like from Trey Lance is that he's showcasing he has the capabilities to be a starter in the NFL. He's showcasing that he can run the offense. And I pray Jimmy Garoppolo's watching this with a maniacal look. Like, I want Jimmy Garoppolo to be a villain in this situation, truthfully, just because of how many people want Trey Lance to start. Jimmy Garoppolo's still a young QB. He took them to the Super Bowl. Now, I understand he's not this elite quarterback that everybody made him out to be a couple years ago, but he can still get the job done. So if this fire is lit under Jimmy Garoppolo, we're definitely going to see what Trey Area keeps on bringing to the preseason, and we'll have to see just what happens between the QB battle that's going on in Santa Clara. And eventually it's going to be up to Kyle Shanahan to say, hey, this is my QB1, this is who I'm going with, and so be it. But hey, man, I appreciate everybody for tuning in. That's going to be it for this week's recap. Appreciate everybody, man. Make sure you guys tune in next week, every Sunday, Sports Sesh with Alec Elijah, NFL recap. We are going to be here every single Sunday producing the best content I can. Thank you guys, man. Salute. Peace.